We are studying this morning in the book of Revelation in chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Remember, we have now heard the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Back in chapter 11, we had a synopsis then of all that's going to go on. And through chapter 12, then we see things in more detail. In chapter 13, we'll see some things in more detail about this particular 42 months that we're now dealing with in the Revelation. Time and a half time, 3.5 years that stand out in this particular structure and setting. And in chapter 13, there are two beasts that arise, and we want to deal with them. And I think it'll become somewhat clear to us as we read through it and we begin to put some things together about what's going to go on in this particular time on the earth. It's the time that God is bringing things to full consummation, and as the Bible said, the mystery of God is revealed or unfolded. And in relation to His reclaiming of that lost inheritance and establish again sole authority over it all, there are usurpers that are at work today, and certainly those in that particular time that will endeavor to usurp and take that place. But it's the dragon that's now loose and on the earth, cast out of heaven. He's active because he knows his time is short. It's sometimes hard to imagine a creature that was created in the beauty that the Bible describes of Satan, and with the intelligence that he apparently has, and yet somehow or another he himself believes that he can overthrow God. It's not foreign to creatures, because we find men today that somehow or another they have it in their mind that they can stand against God. Remember reading the story of Billy Sunday, evangelist of days gone by, and this preacher went into a saloon, and he challenged the folks in there, and there was one fellow there that was very adamant against the ministry of the man of God and the message of God, and he stood and he defied God. If there is a God, let him strike me dead. And in the record, immediately the man fell to the floor. And Billy Sunday, he was assured that the man was dead immediately, and he was. To think that we sometimes can stand and denounce God and deny God and blaspheme God and God not ever do anything, certainly God's able to do, and he struck that man dead instantly that stood in rebellion. But yet we see a creature here in the Revelation that in times past has said, I'll be like the Most High. We'll see that one now as he will energize a particular person and who will be the head of the last empire that will be on this earth. Except, of course, the Ancient of Days when he comes and establishes his kingdom, that is an everlasting kingdom. And this particular person will be literally empowered by the dragon that we've already seen, that is cast out and cast down. There'll also be a second beast that will actually be a cohort and in assistance to this particular beast that we see, the first beast that comes out of the sea. So let's read this chapter, and then we'll come back and put it into some semblance of an outline, and then we will open the door of opportunity to ask questions and make comments. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, upon his head 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. Now I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwelt in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kingdoms and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth, and them which dwelt therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonder, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not blaspheme or not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So we see in this chapter now some things that I think will be of interest to us as we look into it. Let's look first of all at the first 10 verses and deal with the first beast. So that we might begin to get the picture that is being presented to us here, let's look back into the book of Daniel in chapter 7 and read some of the first verses out of that chapter. Actually, there are several verses that we would really need to look into, but we'd, for the sake of time, we'll just read a few of the verses so that we begin to get the picture of the scene when he said that he stood upon the sands of the sea and he saw this beast coming up out of the sea. Daniel was certainly exposed to this particular scene in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. He will see 4 beasts that arise out of the sea. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the 4 winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. 4 great beasts came up from the sea, divers one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings which were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon his feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, the second, like to a bear, raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. They said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was divers from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horn plucked up by the roots. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And then he points out in the coming verses that he beheld until the Thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, and that kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. But there are kingdoms here that Daniel saw, and he saw as the wind strove upon the great sea, and then out of this sea there arose these beasts. Well, so that it helps us, we want now to look again what John saw. He said he stood upon the sand of the sea, and he saw a beast rise up. Now, Daniel saw four beasts, because at that particular time there were yet four empires that were to exist until the time of the end, and then the Ancient of Days would stand. Now, there have been other world kingdoms and empires that have been in times past. As you'll notice, this particular beast that in Revelation that John saw, it had seven heads. Seven heads. Now, when you go back, actually, when in the days of the visions of Daniel, he was seeing things yet future and existed in future, and therefore he would not have gone back into the past and picked up the empires, the world empires that had already existed. John now is seeing, if you please, one grand beast that arises, and he has all of the characteristics taken from the seven empires that have existed before. Let me just share with you. We have the Egyptian Empire, we have the Assyrian Empire, we have the Babylonian Empire, which was in existence in Daniel's day. The Egyptian and Assyrian already as history. Then you have the Medo-Persian, you have the Greek, and then the Roman Empire. These are empires that certainly are actual marks and times of history. And the seventh, then, actually is one that is, if you please, existent out of the six, and literally out of the last, and then comes up as the seventh that we have here in the book of Daniel, the seven heads. Now, this particular beast is described for us as a leopard and a bear and the mouth of a lion and so forth. It gives us a description of these. When we look back into Daniel chapter 7, we realize that these are characteristics of each one of these empires. The leopard empire, remember, was Alexander, and the Greeks, when they came swiftly and conquered by the age of 33, this young man had conquered the then known world. And so the picture that John has for us here is literally governments that are arising out of the social unrest of the world. We can look back and we see how men have arisen out of social unrest. In whatever society it might be, you find particular figures that will come to the forefront. Even in our own society, in a small measure, we've seen men that would come to the forefront. I remember with the social unrest among the truckers, the Teamster Union came into existence, and certain strong figures would take places of prominence. In a greater sense, we see it in the days of Stalin and in Lenin, whenever there were social unrest in this world, and communism would make its inroad because of the social unrest that was in the world. And you go back in history, you always find this. Now, certainly there's going to be social unrest in this world as the Lord described it in these last days. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be nation against nation. There'd be a lot of great turmoil, social unrest in the world. Internally today we have social unrest. And it's not only just in this nation, but it's across the world. You look at China, even with its iron-fisted government, they still cannot put down social unrest in that great expanse of land and country and people. There's always an unrest in the world, and in the last days, in the midst or out of the midst of this social unrest, there's one that will arise. Now, certainly there are and have been antichrists ever since the days of Christ. And I listened to a preacher some time ago. I was driving somewhere, and for lack of anything else to do, I'll try to find somebody that's preaching on radio, and I'll listen to it. And this guy went into great, great detail, talking about you're not ever going to see the Antichrist. He absolutely denied there's ever going to be such a person appear. He said there's always been Antichrist, and I agree that there have always been Antichrist, but there's going to be one who arises as the epitome of Antichrist. Now, John said in his day that there were Antichrist. He, in fact, gave us the formula for evaluating a person and a ministry. And he said if one does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he's Antichrist. Now, there were various ones that denied the Lord in some fashion or another in the days of John. Well, the most popular approach in the days of John, whenever he wrote his first epistle, was by the Gnostics. Now, the term Gnostic is actually just knowledge and or gnosos, so that means to know, and the Gnostic was one who knows it all. And there was a group that they ascribed to themselves great knowledge. They were the group in the know. You find them today. You'll find a certain little segment over here, and they say, we're the ones that really know. Nobody else knows. Herbert W. Armstrong, remember, said, you know, nobody else knows. I'm the only prophet in these last days. There's been truth that's been lost and hidden all these years since the last apostle died. Nobody's known a thing since then. Isn't that strange? I mean, to deny the power of God and to blaspheme as such. You look through history and you find that the saints of God, as they stood faithful down through the ages. That's another story. I won't get on that this morning. I'll just throw that in for free and we'll go on. There are those that always claim to be in the know, but the Gnostics in the days of John, they said that, well, Christ was never really a person. He was only a phantom, only a spirit. You see, denial of what John said, if a spirit or a man does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he's Antichrist. Now, today we've gone so knowledgeable, so liberal that we'll accept folks. But there are people today that are doing the same thing. They will talk about a mystical Christ and principles, but when it comes down to it and you challenge them, do you really believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God? And they say, well, no, we don't believe that. He was probably an illegitimate son of a German soldier of an encampment that was close by Nazareth, and Mary was impregnated by one of these German soldiers. Deniers of the faith, but they're subtle. There are men that are standing in the pulpits across this land today that will do that. And John said that in his day they're Antichrist. And they're still Antichrist. Today, they're no different. But there's going to be an epitome of Antichrist in a person. It's personified here in the revelation that's presented to us. He'll stand out. I agree with the men that there has always been Antichrist, but and the spirit of Antichrist, but there's going to be one that stands out in the epitome of Antichrist. I mean, blasphemy is actually just heaped upon them. The very crown he wears is blasphemy. What a creature. And this person arises out of the political, social unrest of the world. And he's the first beast that we see. He has seven heads and the horns and the tails. All of these things. Well, we see in this actually the various segments of the world empire. The last empire and it does come out of the Roman Empire. Remember, I believe it back in Daniel again, he said that it was partially strong and partially weak. The Roman Empire was totally strong. When you read of Rome and its power, it was an iron empire. It did not bend, it did not sway much. The roads that Europe enjoyed were built by the Roman Empire, and their sole purpose in building them was not to make it convenient for people, but that they might expedite their armies and keep the world in control. And so they were an iron empire in their day. They had teeth of iron that devoured. And the last empire will have some of the characteristics, but he said that it will be iron mingled with clay, which weakens it. And so you'll have some of the strength of it, but you'll have also the democratic thought in opposed into that particular government. And so it'll not be as strong, but it'll still be just the beast and the strong empire. And it will be out of the sixth. And it will have the characteristics of all that have gone on before. So that's what John is really seeing here, is an empire and a head of an empire that arises out of the earth. Now, there's some things about it that we notice, of course. Again, he wears the name of blasphemy. That's his name. So we understand quickly that he's not on God's side. And then he bears, again, the marks of the tyranny of the empires that were before it in verse 2. You'll notice that he, in verse 3, is miraculously preserved. He said, I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now, one of the things that started the day that John Kennedy was assassinated, they said, well, he was wounded in the head, and he's alive somewhere. You've heard that. Well, if he is, he hasn't got any brains because they left most of the brains either in that car or on the side of the road in Dallas. Now, that's a different story. But there's going to be a miraculous healing of this creature, that this man that stands. Now, I don't know. I'm just assuming that he's probably going to be somewhat disfigured from this deadly wound that he's healed of, because the second beast will cause an image to be made. He may become a recluse in that he'll not stand out in public, but his image will be there, and that image will take on characteristics and will speak and will blaspheme. And so, anyway, he wears the name of blasphemy. He bears the marks of the tyranny of the empire before. He's miraculously preserved. Devil worship becomes very prevalent in verse 4. They worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. In other words, this literally is the emissary of Satan on earth, and therefore this beast being empowered by the dragon, the world worships the dragon that gave him power. And they worship the dragon, they worship the beast, and then the cry was, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him, or who can resist this man? Now, we're talking about tyranny and total world subjection in this particular time. Now, this is a time that there'll be a lot of martyrs. Those that will not bow the knee and worship this beast, those that will hold the name of Jesus Christ, they'll pay with their lives. I mean, that's pretty evident in the context that this person has that kind of power. And we'll notice that devil worship is prominent. Then he is, it's to continue for it in 2 months. And in verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue for it in 2 months. Now, let me say that sometimes we overlook it, but do you see the statement, power was given unto him? In other words, there are some things that are in the permissive will of God that God allows to go to a certain point, and whenever that point is reached, then there is a consummation of it. Always bear in mind that God has never dipped his flag, he's never surrendered, and he's never stepped down from his throne of sovereignty. But there are things that God allows to carry out actually in process and program as he has designed. And this particular beast will be allowed to continue for that 42 months. And there'll be some things we'll notice in the chapters that follow about this particular creature, this beast, that will certainly be carried on during that time. He'll blaspheme God in verses 6 and 7. He opened his mouth in blasphemies, to blaspheme against God and to blaspheme his name and to his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Again, we notice this total world subjection and power. Now, let me say that this is, if you please, is the same kingdom that Jesus offered to that Satan offered to our Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. So we have it here in the epitome of this great final Antichrist, the epitome of Antichrist as he stands. He's given the power over all the kingdoms of this world by the dragon. And he does blaspheme, and he curses not only those on earth, but he curses those in heaven. He's mad and angry at everybody. And he hates everything that's related to God. It's not any wonder today that the world hates you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate the Christ, and they'll hate you because you follow Christ. I mean, you don't take it personal. They'll hate him even while he's on earth and cast down. He'll hate him still in heaven. I mean, he blasphemes and curses those that are in heaven. And so we see that power is given unto him to continue the 42 months, and he has power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. In other words, he will certainly have that particular attention drawn to him. For he, in that time, remember, will step into the temple of God. And he'll say, now, God's not really God here. I'm God. You'll have to worship me. He's broken the covenant that he has made, this beast that has risen out of the social unrest of the world. Will whisper in the ear of Israel and say, we care about you. And you can just drop your defenses. You can build your temple, you can worship in peace, because we'll protect your borders. Nobody will invade you. In the middle of the week, the beast steps in and said, now the thing is, I'm God. And that's when the Jews have trouble, because they'll not pay homage to him, and they'll flee at the command of God to their hidden place, in their particular place. And so we see this power that's given unto him. And then there is the call to attention to hear in verses 9 and 10. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And what John is seeing and what he's hearing is, saints, don't give up. It sure looks tough. It looks hopeless. But God's law of sowing and reaping has never been nullified. And this beast one day will be put down, be destroyed by the same efforts that he has raised against the saints of God. And that's the patience and of the saints here, and the faith of the saints, just to know that God will suddenly set everything right. Wouldn't it be a sad world if we thought that injustice went on in all the ceaseless ages of eternity? I mean, all of the wrongs would never be righted. You can rest assured, just as sure as we're standing here and sitting here today, that God's going to set all things right one day. Every injustice will be avenged. It's hard for us to do that. We like our pound of flesh now, but if you can do it, you just wait a while. If you've been wronged in your life, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather have my fellow man wreak vengeance on me than God. When it comes to that, I'll guarantee it'll be an exacting vengeance that will be perpetrated upon man. And so he said, that's the patience and the faith of the saints. Just hang on, saint of God. Things will be set right one day. And then we notice the second beast, another interesting creature. So you beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Well, we have a different scene here. The sea, the noise rose out of the sea, that speaks of a turbulence, a wind blowing, unrest, movement. Social unrest. Well, the earth is stable as we look at it in contrast to the sea. So we see something here now that comes out of organization that actually builds in time. This is not it's not something that rises out of social disorder, but this beast comes out of order. And what's the most orderly thing in the world? It's religion. Religion. Ordered religion. We see it here, a creature that arises, and you'll notice some things about him. That first of all, he has two horns like a lamb, and he speaks as a dragon. In other words, he's not what he appears. He's not what he appears. There's great applause today for great religious leaders, but they speak like a dragon. Did you know that in history, when you look at it, some of the greatest atrocities have been perpetrated by leaders of religion? They looked like one thing, but they spoke like the dragon. There was great hatred and vengeance that they would wreak. He's deceitful. In verse 11, he looked like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. He exercises power in verse 12, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and all and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly image or deadly wound was healed. And then he caused, of course, them to worship the image of that one who was wounded even as unto death. So what do we see here? We see one that is now in alliance with the political leader of the world. Religion will lend its hand into this now so that all attention will be turned to this one particular political person that has arisen of the first beast. Now, there have been times and down through the ages, and certainly we know that there are dominant and predominant religions in the world today. There are those that stand out with various leaders, but there are those that stand out with one particular leader and a great throne, and also has a hand in politics. And it's always been that apostate church that John said, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out from us. Somebody asked me some days ago, I don't remember who it was now, about Protestantism. I said, well, the first Protestants were in the days of John. They protested truth and they went out. It was not long after our Lord had departed from this earth that air began to take shape and form, and men began to depart. John said they went out from us. In other words, he has the representative of truth and standing in truth said they left this and went out. That's Protestantism. They protested truth there. Now later on there was a Protestant movement that protested the waywardness and the apostasy of the Roman Church and a great movement was born in the days of Luther and Calvin and Knox and others that stood their ground and tried to call a religious group back to the fundamentals. And there they were protesting error, but the first group protested truth and went out. So what I'm saying is that there is organized religion, and out of it comes this particular beast with great power. He exercises the powers even of the first beast. Why? Because he has the same source of strength and power. He said that he exercised all the power of the first beast. Well, if he had all the power of the first beast, then it has to be the dragon that's empowering both of them. And it comes from two sources. These two sources then are confederated, and then we see the great massive attention of worship to this particular beast and the image that he will set up. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar made this effort long ago. It's not anything new to try to unite the world in religion. There's an effort to do it today. There's the movement on by the year 2000 to have a doctrine that all the religions of the world can agree with. Well, I'll tell you what, one group's not ever going to agree with it. As long as I'm alive and standing here and in my right mind, we're not going to agree with it. Because there's a distinct difference between a doctrine that all the world and with all the varied ideas of religion could accept and what we accept. Because they'll have to deny Christ. Because he's a divider of men. He said, I didn't come to send peace on the earth. He said, I've come to divide men. And the dividing factor in this world today is what we believe about Jesus Christ. If we only believed he was just a good prophet and a good teacher and a man ahead of his days, we could agree with a lot of other things. But if we believe he is the very Son of God sent into this world to redeem sinners from the lost estate and we've trusted him, it's a different story. You can't agree with that world. But anyway, here's a religious figure that comes out. He does miracles in verses 14 and 15. He causes miracles to be performed. In verse 13, he said, and do a great wonder so that make a fire come down from heaven on the earth inside of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles. And I say to you this morning that miracles are not always a sign of the ministry of God. Satan is able to do great things. Do you remember the fellows over in the book of Exodus that appeared before Pharaoh, his magicians? They could mimic some certain things that the men of God did. Moses threw down his rod, it became a serpent. And the magicians threw down their rod, and they became a serpent. The only thing was, Moses' rod ate up theirs. Now that... But they could do certain things. And thank God, God is greater than all. But to understand that there are times that miracles are performed, and they're not of God. There's another source of power as well. And this particular beast here exercises that power, but he deceives the world. By those things, he does these miracles, and he marks his people. Satan always wants his mark on his, because God marks his. Now, there are certain marks on the child of God today. And I don't have time to go into all of them today. One of the marks is the seal of the Holy Spirit. I believe also there's a watermark, too, of baptism. I think that scripture of baptism is a mark on a believer today. And a lot of other marks that we can name we don't have time to go into this morning. But the Lord marks his own. And Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, talked about being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. And so there are certain seals and marks on the children of God. Those 144,000 are sealed with the seal of God in their foreheads. But Satan are that false Christ, and that false religion will mark its own. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now this will be presented, no doubt, as an act of patriotism to bring peace to this world. There was a fellow made the statement the other day. I think I told you about it. But he said, I don't believe there'll be another great war. Well, I'm going to tell you what there will be. Who the conqueror's going to be, too, when it's all said and done. And that greatest of all wars, when the blood runs to the bridle of the horses for 200-something miles, you can rest assured Christ is the victor in that battle. But there'll be a great war and great wars. But this one here, with his religion, he'll make folks receive the mark in the right hand or in the forehead. And the penalty is that if you don't have that, you can't buy or sell. In other words, you just cannot traffic. It may be presented as an act of patriotism. There are people today, no doubt, if it was presented as an act of patriotism, would receive a mark and say, I want to be a good patriot. I want to be a good citizen. Well, we ought to all be good citizens as children of God. But on the other hand, we don't want to be duped into thinking that we're to take this mark just blindly, because it's a seal that dooms the soul. But anyway, he tells us here that this man has a number. Now, the great beast, this comes back to the first beast, the second beast giving his authority to him and encouraging the world to turn to that first beast, because they are in an alliance together. Religion and politics have united in this great effort of these two leaders. And here we see the number. And the Bible said it is the number of man. And its number is 666, or 666. Now, let me say that every time that a 666 appears somewhere, some people, when they drive down the street and they see a house with 666 on it, they say, there's the Antichrist house. If they see a taxi cab that has 666 on it, they say, that must be the Antichrist taxi cab. But let me say that there is a number, and in the time that we have before us, whenever he appears, it'll be very evident, this number. It would be very prominent. We don't know why it's going to appear. I couldn't tell you this morning if I had to how this number 666 will play and how it'll come. But when it comes and relates to this man, it'll be very evident. That's what John's saying. You'll be able to understand who he is. Won't be any question about it, because it's the number of a man, and his number will be very prominent and pronounced. It won't be something that we have to add this number to that number to make this happen. I mean, it'll be very evident and very pointed and very visible when this man appears, and the number will be associated with his name. And so there are creatures, or men, if you please, that are to arise. We see here a political figure that rules the world. We see a religious figure that literally, in that sense, rules the world, because he gives his alliance to the first beast and assists him in this great effort.